You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. In these podcasts, we chat with visionaries from across the food industry to discover the ideas that will transform our food landscape. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, broadcaster, and all-round gastronaut. Today's podcast has been produced in partnership with Fair Share, and we're talking about turning surplus food into healthy meals for those who need it. There is, unfortunately, an increasing demand for food aid here in the UK. Since the beginning of the pandemic, there's been a 110% increase in the amount of people using food banks. However, there are inspirational organisations working to get food to those who need it, and today we're going to be speaking to some of them. Joining me are Claire De Silva, Head of Community and Local Media at Tesco, Nicola Mackay, Community Food Programme Manager at Tesco, Helen Davies, Commercial Manager for Fair Share, and Dr. Mansukh Majoria, Trustee of Sri Jalaram Mandi, a charity that turns surplus food into meals for the community at a Hindu temple in Greenford in London. Now, let's start off with Helen. Can you start by telling us how much demand for food Fair Share has seen from charities and community groups over the past year?
So the last year has been a very tumultuous one, as you can imagine. So before the start of the pandemic, we were redistributing a million meals every week. That number has doubled over the last 12 months. And in fact, during the first 3 months of the pandemic, we were redistributing 3 million meals every single week. So so the demand was stratospheric.
That's a vast increase, isn't it? That's not just incremental. That's fundamental.
One of the things I would say is that that volume kind of doesn't tell the story of what was really happening during, especially during those first few months of the pandemic. And in terms of kind of food supply for Fair Share, we rely on food from 600 food partners, from farmers and packers and manufacturers and distributors, and in particular food from our retail partners as well. And so what happened in those first few months is that firstly, at a supermarket level, and the surplus food that we receive from supermarkets, for a short period of time, that food just fell off a cliff as shoppers panicked and went into supermarkets and literally, the shelves were bare. A few weeks after that, the whole food service and hospitality sector shut down. And so quite literally, we went from famine to feast. So we had an incredible amount of short-dated, really good food that was coming through to Fair Share from the food service and hospitality sector. So we were incredibly lucky that our food partners, and in particular our retail partners, really stepped in to say, look, how can we help and what can we do to try and steady the ship? So that was on the food supply side of things. On the actual kind of need, as I'd mentioned about, we were redistributing at the start of the pandemic 3 million meals a week. What happened with the 11,000 charities that we support every week is that half of those charities suddenly and temporarily closed because they may have been community cafes or children's breakfast clubs, but half of those organisations that we supported temporarily closed. The organisations that stayed open were inundated with requests for an increased amount of food. So we were trying to deal with getting more food out to the existing organisations that were still open. And we had lots of inquiries from new organisations that we weren't working with, charities and community groups that said, hey, we need more food. On top of that, and it gets even more, it gets ever more complicated. On top of that, many of the organisations that were used to cooking food for community cafes and residents in homeless hostels and shelters and things, there was a big shift from cooking meals to actually providing food parcels. So the type of food that the organisations that we were supporting actually changed as well. So there's a much greater need to have long life, dry foods, tinned foods, pastas and cereals, as opposed to a lot of fresh vegetables and chilled food and frozen food.
Yeah. Now, for a small organisation, that's a shift like that would be something that you'd have to cope with, and it might be difficult. You're already enormous, and so doubling something that's already vast is a huge and fundamental change, isn't it? You're sounding particularly sane despite all of that, I have to say.
I'm not sure any of us, Food Partners, ourselves, or the charities that we were supporting at the time, it was a very, very chaotic time, and we didn't know what we didn't know. So it was, I think, the beauty of what happened last year, if there's any beauty that came out of it, is the power of our partnerships, because we actually all rallied together to really support what was happening and the need at the time.
And people having to change the whole concept of how they work, very, very quickly. It must be very difficult. Now, Mansouk, you're there again on the front line. Your charity redistributes food. Tell us about some of the stories you've been hearing from people who come into the temple to receive your food.
When the lockdown came, we had to close the temple. So we had to find immediately, we can't leave these people on lurch. So we had to immediately find a place where we can cook for these people and provide meals to them. So with a local restaurant, we managed to provide 2,500 meals every day. We supplied a lot of meals to frontline staff, NHS, during that time. And also we went in and distributed the meals to all the devotees who needed these meals. So it was a challenging time. And as Helen says, we've been with Fair Share for over 4 years now. I used to get calls from the Park Royal depots from the managers. Well, we got 200 bags of boiled rice. Can you use them? And really, to us, it was a godsend. Yeah. And the other day we had a call saying we have 300 buckets of yogurt. Well, yeah, we'll take it. You know, as Helen said, we did our best to use all that food that we were given, and we thank a full food to a Fair Share, but we made a good use of all that food. We never threw any of it at all. So that's where we're coming from. And now in the lockdown, as I say, we now cooking about 300 meals every day, and we use Deliveroo, because remember, all our volunteers were over 60. Right, and 60 and 70, and they're all now shielding. So we had to find who can deliver this food, and so it is a big task. Yes,
that's extraordinary. Yeah, absolutely. And again, you're having to change your systems enormously to be able to cope with the change in circumstances. I'm interested also in your relationship with what you're doing. Does it anger you that you need to do this, or are you just pleased that you can do it?
No, extremely pleased that we're reaching out to the community. As I say, we've been supplying food to key worker schools. Yeah. We're extremely pleased that we've been there for the community,
Yeah. And well, I think thank God that both you and Helen's organization are doing these things. Now, let's look a little bit more at the fundamentals of this. Nikki, can you take me through how all of this works? Where does Tesco's surplus food come from?
As a retailer, we would love to perfectly match supply and demand, but we just know that's not always possible. So there's always going to be some unsold foods at the end of each day. So our priority is to try and reduce the surplus. So sell it, obviously, first of all. And then we also continually optimize our forecasting to make sure that we have like as least surplus as possible, but also kind of balancing that with supporting our suppliers.
It's an internal battle for yourself, isn't it?
It is a bit. Luckily, I don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. It's all very clever people that have to kind of do that with their systems. Yeah. But so what we do is, if we still have some stuff that we just can't sell, then that's where Fair Share come in. So we then donate it through our Community Food Connection programme. So through that, Tesco colleagues can inform local charities of what surplus we have left at the end of the day. And then through our app, and then the charities come to the store and collect it free of charge. And then they can turn it into meals for people in the local community. Yeah.
And I know, because we have a studio here, that surplus food, it seems like such an easy idea. You've got surplus food, you hand it away. It's much more complex than that, isn't it? The whole system's to go through to make sure it's safe and make sure it's done properly. Helen, how do the basics work? How does Fair Share then distribute the food?
We have a couple of models. So we've been around for 25 years. We're the UK's largest charitable redistributor. And for quite a long period of time, the way that we operated is that we worked with food industry partners, from farmers to packers to manufacturers to retail distribution centres, and where they had surpluses occurring, and it could be down to packaging errors or gluts, that food we would intercept and we would bring it into what I guess we call regional centres, but they're essentially food warehouses. So food comes into our food warehouses. We have 30 of those across the UK. And then it's unpacked and repacked, and it's delivered out to organisations across the four nations. And that operation still happens now every single day. But 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, actually, with the support of Tesco, we set up an additional programme, which was to tap into the really short shelf life surplus that occurs within supermarkets. So we have a programme now where we've got a number of retail partners that all donate their end of day surplus food that we've connected charities directly to. So charities come into store at the end of the day and pick up that completely good to eat, good quality surplus food. And in all, we support 11,000 organisations to do that every single week.
And presumably, ambient food is relatively easy. A box of jars of stuff is easy. But suddenly, when you're locked into the cold food chain, it's infinitely more complex. And presumably, this is it's surplus food. Therefore, you've got limited time. So time is of the essence. You must have quite a very complex distribution network to be able to cope with all of that.
We do, and actually, across all of our regional centres or food warehouses, the backbone of those warehouses are run by volunteers. So we're incredibly lucky to have a fantastic range of volunteers that support our operation. But we also have incredible teams that work out of each of those regional centres. And we have lots of, detailed procedures in place to ensure that as the food comes in, that we manage it and we store it safely. When the food goes out to the 11,000 organisations that we support, we also work with every one of those organisations to understand how they're going to be using the food, how they prepare the food, to make sure that throughout that supply chain, our side, that the food is being handled, stored and used safely.
So Mansour, you collect the food via Fair Share Go. How does it all unfold?
Sure. So we signed up with Fair Share over 4 years ago, and we started collecting from one or two stores. We now collect from about 22 stores on a daily basis, 7 days a week. Just want to let you know that we go and feed homeless people in the City of London 3 times a week. So we feed over 600 homeless and needy people in London every week. So we use, for example, we collect a lot of pastries from Tesco. We collect a lot of bread. We collect all the vegetables. We give all these to homeless people in town. We use the bread, sliced bread, to make 600 sandwiches a week in the temple. So 3 times a week, Holborn, Charing Cross, and Temple Station. So these are the three places we go on a weekly basis. The food that comes from Tesco and Fair Share is really a godsend for us. We've really expanded because the demand for the food is there. As you know, that about over 2.5 years ago, about 2 years ago, Dave Lewis and Lindsay Boswell came to our temple to thank us for the work we've been doing. So just to give you some stats on collections from Tesco stores, we've done now nearly 7,500 collections in the last 4 years. We have collected 150,000 kilograms of food, and we've provided 357,000 meals. This is Tesco food. On top of that, we got collections twice a week from Fair Share. A lot of food is collected and distributed, not just to the homeless. During the lockdown, we've been giving food to 17 charities, from Mother Teresa missionaries to churches, to temples. We've sent food to Calais refugees. So, the demand has grown for us, and we're so grateful to Tesco and Fair Share, really, for the food.
It's extraordinary stuff, isn't it? So, Nikki, at the beginning of the pandemic, Tesco pledged to support Fair Share and Trussell Trust with £15 million worth of food. Why did you decide to do that? And why did you choose those organisations?
So we've got a really, really close working relationship with both Fair Share and the Trussell Trust. We literally talk to them every day. So when the pandemic hit and we saw the panic buying in stores, and we just speaking to the teams were saying how they were being affected. Obviously, there was loads of people being furloughed. No one had ever heard of furlough before. And all of a sudden, there was just this this brand new kind of culture. It was really bizarre. So we spoke to them and we were like, what can we do to support? And it was clear initially that it was food that they needed, not funds. So while it had been really easy to go, here you go, here's loads of money, that was just not what they needed at all. So what we did is we kind of spoke to the teams, discovered exactly what they needed, the amount they needed. And it was a bit of a finger in the air, to be honest, because they didn't know. They anticipated that the need would go up 20 to 30%. In fact, the Trussell Trust saw an increase of 81% over the first 3 months of the pandemic. So Fair Share saw, I think it was correct me if I'm wrong, Helen, I think it was about a fourfold increase in the first 3 months. So it was just much bigger than we were anticipating. So a week after lockdown, the team initiated the support package of £15 million worth of food over about 3 months. And then also there was an additional £1 million in cash to support distribution of this food as well. So it was a real collaborative effort between Fair Share, Trussell Trust. We had British Gas involved, The Entertainer, and loads of teams across the business as well, who all kind of came together to deliver this in like a really short space of time.
Now, Claire De Silva, you're head of community and local media for Tesco. How does this fit in with reducing food waste? Because it's a complex relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really complex relationship, and actually it's not one I'm entirely qualified to be able to talk through very well. So I do hope that I do justice to our fabulous supply chain team who are working incredibly hard. But you know, I think our focus is really around prevention. Actually, that sort of sits at the top of what it is that we're trying to do, and how we more effectively optimize our forecasting and ordering, so that, you know, we can do a number of things, such as, you know, make sure that we're picking produce to order to increase the shelf life, that we're making sure the case sizes are optimized so that the shops aren't oversupplied, and resulting in excess waste, and you know, primarily making sure the stock is sold and keeping it within the human supply chain where we can. So that's where the ability for us to be able to sort of support Fair Share, Olio, and our colleagues as well, because we have a colleague shop, that you know, really enables everything to be taken into consideration. So it is a really difficult process, but we are making a really strong commitment that no food that's safe for human consumption will go to waste from our UK retail operations across the whole piece. So that includes our, you know, distribution centres and our stores. And if food can't be sold, then, as we've said, we offer it to groups, to charities. And that's where the redistribution piece becomes so effective in local communities and broader than that, really.
And becomes really important to people as well. Now, Helen, some people might argue that feeding people waste food isn't the solution to food poverty, that it creates a two-tier society. I mean, does it work like that?
I think, Stefan, the first thing I would say as a redistribution organisation, and I'm sure Mansouk would say the same, we don't give out waste food. So we really need to bust the myths around what we're dealing in here. We intercept surplus food, and we have fantastic partners that give us great quality food. Most of the food that we receive is actually better than any of us can go and buy from a supermarket shelf, because it's not even reached a supermarket. You know, we have food from Tesco's distribution centres that comes into our food warehouses. So I think it's really important, firstly, to just dispel the myth around what we do. We give surplus food to 11,000 organisations that use it to help people, that many of those people may be food insecure, but many of those people the organisations are using food as a means to bring people through the door so they can support them with other things. And so, for example, a lunch club for elderly people, or we've had an organisation that actually runs cooking classes for elderly bereaved men. And one could argue that making a cottage pie together is helping with food insecurity, but actually what it's really doing is helping a group of older men feel less isolated and less lonely. And
food is about so much more than calories, isn't it?
Completely.
So you draw a very clear distinction between the concept of waste food and surplus food.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, Claire, this is an interesting concept for me, because obviously, you know, your company needs to make money. What impact has your relationship with FareShare had on the organisation, had on Tesco's?
I mean, I think, as Nikki said earlier on, you know, we are fully immersed with FareShare, you know, from a partnership perspective. We've been working with them since 2012. They've become so well established across the whole business, you know, that we're on sort of, you know, daily contact with them, and that's across our supplier teams as well as, you know, just sort of Nikki and my team. They're sort of, you know, across the whole organization to really work and understand ways that we can do what we're doing even better. I mean, we're already sort of their biggest provider. So, you know, actually we want to do that even better than we currently do too. So, you know, any way that we can work with them to support is great. We also, you know, link in a number of different categories across our business with FareShare as well. So we do things like provide support through we call it on pack donations. So, you know, you'll see promotions on some packs of items where we'll support FareShare. We've had teams from head office volunteering at FareShare at the depot in charities specifically. We've had teams from our property department helping with negotiating the leases for FareShare depots. I mean, it's kind of far and wide, isn't it, Helen, really? And I think, you know, actually, in terms of how our customers see Tesco, far from us being that sort of the big kind of, you know, cold-hearted, ruthless corporate who only care about sort of sales and profit, it's really clear that people now know that we are helping thousands of people in local communities through the food and the funds that we're providing. And that's all driven by this relationship that we have with FareShare. Don't get me wrong, we want to do more to tell people about that. Of course we do. But actually, when it really matters, it's about that locality. And that's the bit that we really, you know, we really sort of work so closely with FareShare on, to ensure that we're giving the right message and we're helping when we can at times when it's really needed, like the last year has shown.
So there should be a symbiotic relationship, really, shouldn't there? Now, Helen, I mean, this goes quite a long way to solving societal problems, doesn't it? How much does your work save the UK economy? I mean, can we be can we talk in statistics as bold as that?
I think so. A couple of years ago, we did some research around social impacts with NEF, and actually, what came out of that research was that. And bearing in mind, we've now doubled what we do from a couple of years ago. But what NEF actually unpicked is that they believe we're saving the public purse over £50 million a year. And that's on top of the £14 million a year that we know we save the 11,000 organisations, or we know that the 11,000 organisations that we support are saving from not having to buy food. And the money that the organisations are saving, they're reinvesting it directly back into the frontline services that they operate. The money that we believe we are saving from the public purse is very much driven around what I mentioned earlier around, yes, we support organisations that are feeding, that are helping people that are highly food insecure, but also these organizations are doing so much more than that. And actually, if you're helping someone feel less lonely and isolated, we all know that loneliness is a killer. And actually, it has a massive impact on someone's mental health. It has a massive impact on your physical health. So actually, the great work that Mansouk and his teams of volunteers are doing is helping in so many more ways, as well as supporting with food insecurity.
I just want to add the question you asked, Helen, in terms of savings. Last few weeks, we're getting a pallet full of potatoes from Fair Share. As you know, we make rice and curry every day. We put it's a vegetable curry because we vegetarian food we provide. Now that's saving us money to the temple. This is so you know we depend on the money that people put in the box. Yeah. So for us, you know, it's saving a lot of money to, you know, we use the curry of the vegetables to make curries. You know, and that saves us money.
And Nikki, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, doing more. What more could be done in the future to build on the partnership between Tesco and Fair Share?
So I think, as we've all alluded to already, our partnership is really well developed. It's really well established. And we do kind of talk all the time. So it's now working at all of our Tesco stores, in our distribution centres, in our dot-com centres, as Mansouk was saying, he collects from in Greenford. Also in our kind of different formats, so in Jack's as well. So we've seen how we can kind of work together with all of the response to the pandemic. We've seen how well we can work together. But there's always opportunities. I mean, Tesco doesn't stand still. There's always opportunities to innovate and kind of make sure that we're working as efficiently as possible, making sure it's simple for the stores to donate surplus food and simple for the stores to do more, really. So we're looking at some kind of technology changes with our other partner Feeds Cloud, which will hopefully allow us to redistribute even more surplus feed. And then it's really kind of about, as Claire said, getting the word out, like, and telling people about what we're doing. So kind of really amplifying our relationship and support for Fair Share, because that's kind of come across in the last year with all of the work that Fair Share have been doing through the pandemic, that their kind of profile has been raised massively and people actually understand what they do, which is brilliant. So it's kind of working on supporting that, really.
Could I just add to that?
Yeah.
I do think with Nikki and Claire, we often say that in terms of how Tesco supports Fair Share, they are very modest about what they do. We simply could not do what we do without Tesco's help. They're absolutely an incredible partner for us. And when we look at the support that Tesco has given us and what that translates into in terms of meals for the organisations that we're supporting, the numbers are almost too big to comprehend. But Tesco has given us the equivalent of 100 million meals over the last 8 years. It's absolutely,
that is vast.
It's
isn't
very
it?
Difficult to understand what those numbers actually mean, but they're an incredible partner.
Extraordinary stuff. So Mansouk, I'm going to give you our final question, and that is really about what happens next. What needs to be done to provide more help for the people who are coming to your temple for food?
Currently, as you say, we only provide lunch, and we would like to provide evening meals as well, because there are people who go to work, again, they only have one meal, hot meal. But we haven't got the capacity at the moment. But we are working on that. We should be, I think after lockdown, should be starting to provide an evening meal as well. And also a delivery service so that we can go further than the area to provide meals to elderly, disabled, and the needy people. So that's what we would like, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, it's a great ambition. Well, I think you're all doing some absolutely extraordinary work. So thank you very much for joining us all today. It's been absolutely fascinating to listen to. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters, and this has been in partnership with Fair Share. You've heard from Helen Davies, Claire De Silva, Nicola Mackay, and Dr. Mansouk Majoria. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from sustainable agriculture to big data. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Thank you all so much for joining me, and thank you to our listeners for listening.